Blog Talk Radio.
For some, it's Flag Day, a day to remember the rich history of the American flag. For others, it's just another work day. For me, it's a day like no other in my entire life. It's the day that my only son was killed in a single occupant car accident on June 14, 1997. This is Flag Day, making the day in 1777 when John Adams proposed the Stars and Stripes as the official flag of the United States. Now, making flags, banners, and pennants is nearly a $5 billion annual business in the United States. Today, we're going to listen to an interesting cross collection of topics today. We're going to talk about Flag Day. We're also going to share three remarkable stories about three remarkable individuals in the United States. And then we're going to pay tribute to my son, the late McCarl Darius Thomas Jr. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, this is Carol Copeland Thomas. We're so glad that you've joined Focus on Empowerment. And this is a show that is always kind of tough for me to do for the very reason that I stated in the promotion of the show, the introduction to the show. It is the 15th anniversary of the death of my son, who died 15 very short years ago at the age of 17 years old. And we'll talk about him a little later on in the show. But again, for me, it's mixed emotions, but it's a day that I am grateful to be here and to be able to share his story and talk about it year after year after year. And hopefully it will be the kind of motivation and encouragement for other parents and others who have lost young adults and young people in their lives. I'm also excited for a number of reasons. Number one is that we are going to have our cruise less than a year from now on April 13th through the 20th. That is vacation week for Massachusetts students. It's going to be a wonderful cultural Caribbean cruise, and our very guest speaker on the cruise will be Dr. Ada McKenzie, who is a leading expert on Caribbean islands, and she's going to just share a lot of information about the traditions, the values, the history of the Caribbean islands, in particular the ones that we're going to visit. That's Puerto Rico, we're going to San Juan, Puerto Rico, and then we're going to St. Martin and St. Kitts. So it's going to be a great 8-day, 7-night experience on the brand-new ship Reflections on the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line. It's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for you and for me to sail the Caribbean seas and also learn more about the islands and have fun at the same time. You can go to my website at www.mssconnect.com. That's mssconnect.com. Learn more about the cruise. Sign up. It's a very small amount, $250 to put down, and then you pay monthly if you'd like, or you can pay it all at one time and get ready for a wonderful experience next year. We'll talk more and more about this cruise and the various islands that we're going to visit in the coming weeks. So we definitely want to have you to join us. Think about bringing yourself, maybe a friend or family members as well, and get ready for a wonderful experience. I'm also excited because last week I finished packaged together. Everything was all edited, re-edited, triple edited, and every line of the book was sent to the publisher last week. And that's my brand new book that's coming out on July 1st, Best Practices, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. It's packed with resources, websites, information, and very practical step-by-step components about how you can become a diversity champion and a multicultural advocate wherever you happen to be. Now, obviously, I'm an American, so it is written from an American perspective, but it definitely has far-reaching tentacles that go all over the world, and we're looking at diversity and multicultural issues from a global perspective. So I encourage you to listen up. You'll be able to purchase the book at my website or also Amazon.com come July 1st, but I'm really, really excited about this book and how it's going to hopefully change people and give people the confidence that they really need to practice diversity on a regular basis. Now, no matter who you happen to be, whatever your ethnic group happens to be, wherever you happen to live, there is something in diversity and multiculturalism for you, and we're hoping that you will experience it through my new book, Best Practices, 21 Ways to Bring Multiculturalism to Your Job, Your Home, and Your Community. So stay tuned and listen up. Also, later on this summer, we're going to introduce Connections Magazine. That will be coming out sometime around the middle of the end of August. It will be chock full of articles, information, wonderful advertisers and sponsors who are all celebrating this concept called multiculturalism and diversity. So that will take place then. And also, you can go to my other website, tellcarole.com. That's TellCarole.com, and download the information about Student Safety Month. That is directly related to my son's death. It is a commemorative month that I started many years ago. And again, there's a wonderful handout that you can download, practical information, resources to help young people to make smart decisions about drinking and driving, certainly during the graduation month of June, but well beyond that point in time, too. We'll do a little updating later on this afternoon, changing 2011 to 2012, but the information is definitely the same. So I encourage you to go to www.tellcarole.com, that's TellCarole, to learn more about Student Safety Month. Now, I'd like to play a little clip for you from the Census Bureau. They actually have daily wonderful clips on just slice of life, pieces of information, trivia that you never thought about. Today's session, they talk about ice cream. You can go to census.gov and find out more about this. I'm even thinking about putting these audio clips on my website because it is pretty interesting. So it is Flag Day, and I want just to play a little bit of information about the importance and the significance of Flag Day. And it was not until 10 days ago, last week, when the Diamond Jubilee took place in Britain with Queen Elizabeth and 60 years of on the throne, that I'm almost 60 years old myself, and I'm realizing that our flags have the same color. I don't know why that was never something that was so prominent to me and so pronounced, but yeah, our flag is definitely different. But the British flag is red, white, and blue. The American flag is red, white, and blue. And several other offshoots of England also have red, white, and blue flags or some variation of it. So let's just listen to just a little clip about the importance and the significance of Flag Day, because it is celebrated here in the United States. It's not an official holiday where people stay home, banks are closed, stock markets are closed. But it is one that is significant, and you'll find out a little bit about how the Stars and Stripes Forever, our national anthem, was crafted from this whole commemorative around Flag Day. So listen up.
Profile America, Thursday, June 14th. This is Flag Day, marking the date in 1777 when John Adams proposed the Stars and Stripes as the official flag of the United States. One of many ceremonies will be held at Fort McHenry in Baltimore. It was the sight of the flag still flying there after an overnight battle with the British in the War of 1812 that inspired Francis Scott Key to write a poem, which became the words of the national anthem. Flag Day events often center around reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, written by Francis Bellamy and first recited in public in 1892 by schoolchildren at a Columbus Day ceremony. Making flags, banners, and pennants is a nearly $5 billion annual business in the U.S. You can find more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
And that's a little bit about Flag Day. I am ultimately through on the members side, the members only side of MSS.connect.com. That's our multicultural symposium series website, www.mssconnect.com. We're going to actually have the flags of every country in the world on that site. Right now you can go under resources and you'll see the flag and see information about India. We do have quite a bit of information there, a comprehensive document about the history of India, how important it is, a lot of economic facts as well, and the flag and the national anthem are there as well. With every country, there is a history, there is something behind the importance of their flags, and we're going to talk about them, and we're actually going to document and upload to our website in the coming couple of months. We've got a lot of updating to do with our websites. As websites are, they're moving creatures that targets, and we're going to actually create new information so that you'll go and you'll actually have a chance to learn a lot as a result of being at both of those websites. That's a little bit about Flag Day. So for some people, Flag Day is really big, and they're capturing it, and they're celebrating it in their own way, and we salute all those who are celebrating Flag Day. But now I want to turn our attention to three remarkable stories. I'm going to do a setup, and then you'll hear one story, and I'll come back and talk about the other. There is a great website, and I talk about this in my book. I actually have a whole chapter on storytelling and the importance of storytelling, and then I relate it also with other parts of my book. But some of the best ways to learn or to connect with other people, particularly across cultural lines and from a cross-cultural perspective, is through storytelling. And there is a nonprofit organization based in Washington, D.C., connected with the Smithsonian Library, called StoryCorps, and that's StoryCorps. .org, StoryCorps, and they're also connected with National Public Radio. Well, they have a nationwide project where they're literally going around the United States. They have a Winnebago or a van and their trailer, and they're going around and capturing the stories of everyday Americans, people from all walks of life doing all kinds of things, some successful, not so successful, some with heartache, some with pain, some with interesting stories, some with stories that may not be as interesting to other people. They're athletic stories, they're tragic stories, they're cross-cultural stories. But the main thing is that they are trying to capture a slice of life with America so that this will be preserved forever. And these stories are being captured and kept at the Smithsonian Library through StoryCorps. Now, the other great thing is that they are teaching people, everyday people, how you can archive your own stories, because with 300 million plus people in the United States, they can't archive all of our stories, but they can teach, and they are teaching people how to capture stories of loved ones, those who are significant to you, those who are part of your network or community or whatever. I actually, again, talk about this in my book and have a whole chapter in my book about audio taping or videotaping your oldest relative in your family and why this is so important when you're talking about diversity and multicultural work. Well, StoryCorps has gone to the next level. They have a whole section where they have questions, 25 or 30 questions that you can ask each other as you are archiving stories. They have equipment that you can use that they recommend to capture either stories on audio or video. So this whole website, StoryCorps.org, is designed to help people, help everyday people, whether you're in the United States or not in the United States, to capture important stories in your life and in your family. And then they've gone the extra mile where some of these stories are actually being archived. They're on their websites. They have hundreds of stories on their website, and then they're being archived through the Smithsonian. So I have selected three stories that I think are pretty cool, pretty nifty. The first one, I hope I'm not mispronouncing this gentleman's name. His name is Oyodeje Ogonye, and he lives in Chicago. He has suffered a tragedy similar to the tragedy that I have had. His father was murdered, and he does something very significant in tribute to his dad. Instead of wallowing in pain and suffering, he does remarkable things in tribute to his father that he'll talk about on his story. And then the second story, I love this one too. This is a husband and wife couple, and they work together. And there are lots of husbands and wives who work together, but they actually work together in the same classroom in a school in the United States. The wife is the teacher, and the husband is the teacher's aide. Now, my daughter Michelle, who is Mikey's twin sister, surviving twin sister, is a teacher's aide. She has been a teacher's aide or a teacher's assistant for 6 years, starting off in Chicago and then finishing here in Massachusetts, in Milton, Massachusetts, in fact, in the same school district that she grew up in. She actually is working with one or two teachers who taught her when she was in elementary school. So I have a great deal of respect for teachers' assistants because they partner with the teachers to run these classrooms with, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 students, and they do a remarkable job. So this couple, Warren and Robin Weems, are this power couple in this classroom, and they have a great story that we'll also hear in a few minutes as well, and how they, it's like a tag team, but most importantly with Mr. Weems, Warren Weems, as a man, I believe he's an African-American man, how the young boys in the classroom just gravitate toward him and really look up to him as a figure, a role model, probably a father figure. And again, it's a great American story. And the third one is another remarkable story of a couple, a loving couple of 13 years, John Klein and Mary Ann Allen. Mary Ann Allen has now passed away. And physically they're different, ethnically, racially they're different, from a disability perspective or in terms of handicap issues, they're very, very different. And you'll hear this story third. So the first story we'll play, and then we'll talk a little bit, and then we'll play the second one with Warren and Robin Weems, and then our third story about this remarkable couple and how love endures all. So we'll take it away right now.
11 o'clock that night, the knock came. They told us that my father was found in an alley and he was murdered. I remember yelling no really loud, and my brother was going haywire, and he punched a hole in the wall, and then my mother she started to pull her hair, and she scratched her face. They found the murders in 4 days. They were 18, 19, and 22. I was angry. I was very, very angry. I didn't want to retaliate. I just wanted to just ask them why. What happens to a person? Where do they get lost to become murderers? At the time, I was tutoring at an after-school program for some extra money, and these kids came from the same conditions that the people that murdered my father came from. A student came to the after-school program. I was probably around 16 years old. We were doing something where everyone had to read out loud. He stormed out the classroom, and I went out to talk to him, and he just broke down. He said, "It's hard for me to read." There are many people that cry because they're hurt, they've been neglected, but to cry because you couldn't read, that spoke volumes to me. So we got him in some other programs, and he started to read, and it just was like this gift that money can't buy for him. And by me giving that to him, I totally forgot about the pain of the murder, and I wanted to continue to give more of what I had to heal. It just dawned on me, everybody at some point sits in a classroom. That could be the foundation for everything else. So that's when I said that whatever happened to my father is not going to be in vain. I'm going to follow my heart and become a teacher.
I think the story, and clearly that young man did not want his father's death now he does for him, and working with young people is what he does. And now we'll listen to the second story with this power couple in the classroom, Warren and Robin Weems. That will start very shortly. And
she does the teaching. I do the decorating, paperwork, whatever law enforcement is needed.
You add an air of excitement, especially the boys. You know, they just hang on every word that you say. They love for you to read stories to them. Whereas if I was reading it, you know, Mrs. Weems is reading, so what?
I tell them why they're there. I'm their father, grandfather, and whatever else. We have a thing on the wall. We call it the classroom family. And I have pictures of myself, my wife, and Jason. And then I have a picture of all the children on the door. So they all feel part of the family, you know.
Pop, you've been a teacher to me, to countless other people, and it's not always in the traditional sense of the word. What brought you to teaching?
Well, I had a fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Litch, and she wrote on my report card, I still have it, Warren is severely handicapped or something like that. And that made me so mad. I failed the fifth grade, and then Miss Burbridge, she took me under her wing and showed me that I wasn't severely handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
And I always will remember her, you know. What I do, I sit back and I figure out what each one of the children's needs are. I do it voluntarily now for, what, 7, 9 years?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't missed a day. I didn't even miss a day when she missed a day, because I know if I leave the room for 1 minute, the class changes.
So what keeps you doing it year after year?
I guess what keeps me going at it is the way you and Jamal turned out. So if I can just do that for someone else. Because I'm just so blessed that I had the sons that I have. So I feel like it's my obligation to give back. The rewards are worth it.
That's a great story for Father's Day. When you think about Warren Weems and the Warren Weems out there who are doing their jobs and being very responsible as a dad. So hats off to him. And then our next story moves on. It's John Klein who's going to be talking with the daughter of Mary Ann Allen. That's our third story today in terms of slice of life.
Tell us how you met Mom.
I had a temporary position at a senior citizen facility in downtown Oakland. Mary moved in there. I was managing the maintenance department, and she needed a couple of things done. So I went up there and adjusted the toilet and made sure the doors open and closed. At that time, she was 59. She had just lost her left foot. But despite her health situation, she really liked to go out and do stuff. So I said, would you like to go for a walk sometime? She was in a wheelchair. So I pushed her down the street, and we just sat there and looked over Lake Merritt for an hour or so, just talking. And somewhere along the line, we just fell in love with each other. And, you know, if you see us coming down the street, certainly didn't make any sense. I'm 17 years her junior, and she is black and I am white.
And
that didn't matter to her
No, it didn't.
And I'm not certain how much it mattered to others, but I think that it did.
It didn't matter to me. She loved you a lot.
I know she did. She was my dear companion for 13 years.
And during the time that I wasn't there for her, because I was into drugs and alcohol, she needed somebody. And you were there, and I have to really thank you for that.
I don't regret a second of it. I would, you know, of course, do it all over again. When she passed away, my love for her just blew up and got more strong. She is the love of my life. I didn't realize this deep of love was possible.
Beloved Mary Ann Allen, who has now since passed away, and he was being interviewed by her daughter. That must have been quite an amazing relationship. Again, she was 59, and when they met, he was 17 years younger. She was wheelchair-bound, but it certainly did not mean she didn't have the capacity to love wholeheartedly, and she certainly did with John Klein. So again, I encourage you to go to storycorps.org, and listen. You can listen to these stories. You can see the pictures of the individuals who have captured these stories, and then it teaches you how to create your own stories I just feel that when you're doing cross-cultural work and when you are involved in the work that I'm doing, the power of storytelling is just, there are no words for it. It's probably the greatest teachable tool that we've had. We certainly have seen it from religious perspectives. Many of our religious stories are what keep us going, and they fortify our religious base. And certainly when we look at inspiration and motivation from an athletic point of view, stories are certainly used. So we have heard three remarkable stories by individuals who have suffered tragedy but turned their tragedy into triumph. And what I like about that first story with Mr. Oyingye is the fact that he didn't wallow in his own pain and suffering, but he used that tragic episode of his father's death for good for young people, and I hope that he continues to teach many, many young people. And I certainly love to see men, particularly African-American men, working with students and working with young boys in particular and giving them a sense of pride in their lives. Well, with that said, I certainly have tried not to wallow in pain and suffering when it comes to my own son's death, and I wanted to just have the other stories told before talking about my own son. I have extensive information, again, at the website, and I've talked about him for 15 years. I've never stopped talking about him. He was a remarkable young man, very talented athlete, very gregarious, funny, told jokes, very smart, had received word that he was going to go to Morehouse College on a full academic scholarship. And the remarkable thing is that my son and daughter, Mikey and Michelle, learned of their college acceptance on the same day. They were fraternal twins, but they were very, very close. Their older sister, Lorna, was already at Spelman, and so it was going to be, I thought, the perfect hookup where one kid was at Spelman finishing her junior and senior year. Another would be at Morehouse entering as a freshman. And he had a great roommate, Rudy Porter, who lived in Detroit, and our family friends. And it's the pain and the connection never leaves you, because I actually saw Rudy last summer at my niece's wedding. And as soon as I saw him, I completely fell apart because I hadn't seen him in many years. And just thinking about what could have been, what would have been. And ironically, his mom, Amir, lost her brother when he was a teenager in a motorcycle accident. So the connections there were quite amazing. And Michelle would have been at Tuskegee. She was accepted to Tuskegee on January 6, 1997. So it was going to be the perfect hookup for me, but life has a way of changing, and your plans are not always the plans that actually happen. But he did pass away, and from his death have come remarkable young people who remember him to this day, family, friends who remember his strength and his courage and what he was as a football player and as a high school student, and others who didn't know him but hopefully will draw strength from the writings that I have put out, from the writings that have gone out from others who have written about him, his dad obviously loving him dearly, and others as well. I started a very small recognition scholarship, the McCarl D. Thomas Spirit Award, that is given away every year at Milton High School, and I had a chance to go and make that award to two wonderful young people just a few weeks ago. And so his legacy lives on, and his memory lives on in the hearts and the minds of many people. And I'm hoping that young people will be safe, that they will remember that their lives are cherished, and every single person is a gift, really. You are really here. You're gifted here on earth. And I'm just hoping that the work that I do will dedicate and will help in a way, and particularly a young person, in a way That will help their lives to move and expand and to move forward. Happy Father's Day to all those dads who are going to celebrate Father's Day on Sunday. Big shout out to Angela Buchanan, who is graduating from, she's actually getting her graduate degree in Spokane, Washington, where I'm headed in a couple of hours. And I just say all of you, happy Father's Day, and be safe, and loving, spirited message, and love my son dearly, and I hope that his memory will last a lifetime. Take care and enjoy your week. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. We'll talk to you next week.